the microphones over.
Before we start the message this morning, I just wanted to continue with our prayers because many of you, I'm sure, have watched the news overnight and seen what's been happening in Iran. And I thought it would just be really good just to take a moment to pray for a situation that is very concerning. So should we just take a moment to do that? Let's just pray together. Creator God, who made our beautiful world and who is in control, we come before you now, lifting up to you the people of Iran. Father, it seems such a complex situation, but we know there's many innocent people involved in Iran, and also just the Arab states in that area caught up in a complex situation of world powers. And we just lift that region to you now. We just ask for de-escalation. We ask, Lord, for peace, for the peacemakers to step forward. We ask for wisdom and clarity for those that are making decisions in that area. And Lord, we lift up to you those who are suffering, those who are sad and bereaved today because of what happened overnight. And we just pray, Lord, in your mercy, please turn your grace to this part of the world. We know there's many Christian brothers and sisters as well, and we pray for them and for the church as it seeks to live out faith in a very difficult situation. So we lift this prayer to you, Lord, knowing that you hear our prayers. We join in with many people all over the world that are praying for this situation now, praying for peace. And we give it to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think we'll turn our attention now to our third part of our Vision 2030. Many of you know that we started at the beginning of the year. We've set a new vision together as a church community to take us into the next few years. And over the last few weeks, we've been working through different sections of our vision, which we've got here up on the stage. So today we've got to the point of what it might be to be a church that shares. And I'm going to briefly just share some thoughts with you this morning about why that's important to us and why it's such a good thing that we've chosen this as part of our vision. And then after that, we're then going to move into a time of communion. I wonder if you have a rule in your family, like if you get a really nice big cake, about how you cut it up and who cuts it up and who does the sharing. Does anyone have any kind of rules in their family that if you do the cutting, you have to be the one that does the sharing? Does anybody do that? That's something that we do in our family because you really make sure that the sharing's done quite fairly, don't you, if you've done the cutting and you've got to give it out to everyone else first. Because sharing doesn't really come naturally, I would suggest. Children have to learn how to do it. And often for ourselves, it's something that we have to be quite intentional about. There's also something wonderful about sharing because it's very relational. It's about how we relate to others, how we share what we have. It's much easier to share with those that we love, much more difficult to do it with our enemies. But it's something that can make a huge difference to communities and also to families. So I wonder what you think about when you think about this idea of sharing. What ideas come to your mind about what it might be? Well, I would suggest it's something about having something of value that you are happy to give to someone else. It might be a resource. It could be an object. And as I was thinking about it, it could be more than that, though. It can be your physical space, can't it? Allowing people to come into your home, for example, or to share your desk at work. We used to have a lot of challenges at work. We did a lot of hot desking. I don't know if anyone's done any hot desking. When I was working in the NHS, it's quite a thing. And it's quite interesting seeing how people navigate hot desking, because people get quite territorial about their desk. So that was that. So this is the kind of thing I'm sort of thinking about. Something that is kind of precious to yours, that you see is yours, but you choose to share it with other people. Of course, it can be sharing knowledge. It might be something that you know you share with someone. It could be time that you share, or a passion. Or it might be that it's something around influence, that you allow someone else to have the space and get the recognition for something. So sharing can happen at lots of sort of different levels. But it usually involves generosity. It often involves some degree of sacrifice. And there's definitely a desire in sharing to bless another, even if there's a cost to ourselves. So isn't that a great thing that we've got that in the centre of our vision for the next few years, to be a church that shares? And I'm going to suggest to you why this might be important. Just a few thoughts from me. I'm sure you've got some ideas yourself, but these are a few thoughts about why we might want to do this as a church and why it's important. And the first one for me is that I believe that being a church that shares, it reflects the character of God. Because our God is a God who shares. He shares his provision, his creation, the world that he made with us. He shares that with us. And he shares his love. If you go right back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, we see a God who created a beautiful world, and then he placed us as humans in it. And he shared that world with us, and he entrusted it into our care. And he gave us everything that we need in the world for us to flourish. It was incredibly generous of God to allow us as humans to do that. And then many of you know, as the story unfolds, we discover that humanity makes a huge mess of things. And things like selfishness are part of our experience. Conflict, we've already talked about that this morning. Broken relationships. And really sharing becomes something that we struggle to do in all of that. Yet throughout that story, as we follow it through in the Bible, we discover a God who keeps sharing with us, who's just generous in his heart. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. That's what the Bible tells us. And God continues to provide for us as human beings. He rescues us. And even though we constantly miss the mark, he generously keeps sharing his love for us. This is what Paul said to the Romans, and I found this really moving, actually, when I was thinking about this whole subject. He said, God, who did not share his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Isn't that an amazing sort of revelation, an opening up of us understanding what God's heart is like for us as human beings? That he didn't spare even his own son for us. He gave him to us. That's incredible. What a wonderful mark of generosity. And we're going to be thinking about that a little bit more as we share communion. Being a church that shares matters. Because as we live generously, we reflect what God is like. The one who gave us the most precious gift that he could give us. He gave us his son. So that's the first reason why it's important that we share. It reflects the character of God. But there's another reason. Jesus asked us to share. And if you follow the Gospels through, some of the things that Jesus said about sharing were really quite radical and invited us to lavishly be generous with those around us. So an example of that might be in Matthew. Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Every time we share with someone in need, someone that's been overlooked, ignored, we do it for Christ, don't we? That's what he commanded us to do, encouraged us to do, to be generous-hearted people that go the extra mile. And it's been great to be just reminded of some of our mission partners this morning, who are living this out in their day-to-day life as they reach out to people in parts of the world where it's very difficult. For example, for women in Afghanistan, it's fascinating to listen to Peggy's story of what it means to be a woman in leadership in that environment. She's a director of finance for one of the partner charity organisations. If you're interested to read some of her prayer letters, it's quite an insight into what it means to be a woman in that culture and how challenging that is. But then we think of Simon and Ursula in her work that she does for homeless people in the east part of London. I could go through some of the list of the people that we support who live out this challenge of sharing. There was two stories that I just wanted to highlight here when I was thinking about what Jesus said about sharing, and hopefully they're helpful for you. The first one that I thought about was that conversation that Jesus had with the rich young ruler who came to him to say to Jesus, what do I have to do to get eternal life? I've done everything. I've kept the law, Jesus asked him. Yeah, I've kept the law. And Jesus' response was, there's one thing you lack, something you do need to do. You need to go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. There's that radical perspective from Jesus again. Now, I don't believe, actually, that that was a command that every one of us has to then go and sell everything we have and give it to the poor. Because we know that Jesus also had friends that were rich. But that for that particular young man, his wealth had become a stumbling block for him. He wasn't able to move forward in his faith because his wealth was getting in the way. It had become a barrier for him. And I think that's something that's just really helpful to think through, that wealth can become something that can actually kind of imprison us and hold us in and stop us being generous. And then it stops us living out the full life that Christ has for us. It's an amazing message of good news that we have, particularly living in this place where materialism and wealth is so important to people. They work so hard to acquire big houses and fast cars. And yet for some of them, it's become a trap. It's something that stops them living fully. They live because they just have to keep generating more material wealth all the time. And Jesus sometimes just encourages us to step away from that, to let go of those things that imprison us, and to start that amazing experience of being generous and giving it away. But there was also another story that I came across in my quiet time last week. Some of you will know that I've been reading through Mark. I've talked about it a few times this year, and I really want to try and get to know that gospel well. As I was reading it through, I came across a passage about the feeding of the 5,000, which was an amazing miracle, wasn't it, that Jesus did for people in need. But there were a few things that just jumped out for me about that particular story and that miracle. You see, the disciples, they brought the meagre amount that they had, the few fish, 5 loaves, it says, and 2 fishes. They shared it with Jesus. He invited them to do it, and they said, okay, it's not very much, but I'm not sure what you're going to do, but you can have it. And then Jesus took that, and he blessed what they'd given, and then he gave it back to them to give out, and it met the need, didn't it, of thousands, 5,000 men, it says. That's not including the women and children that were there. Something amazing happened, that as they shared the little that they had, Jesus took it and blessed it and then multiplied it to bless thousands of people. And the disciples were involved and took part in that amazing miracle. And that just reminded me the other extreme of not holding on, but not feeling that you have so much. That's a story of not having so much, but God using that and multiplying it. If you're generous and you give out of the small amount that you have, he can do amazing things with it. So 2 extremes, really, of having lots and lots and holding on to it, and those of us that don't have so much and God using the small amount that we have. So it reflects God's character. Jesus asked us to share, and we talked about it a lot. And then also the early church did it. We know that in Acts it tells us that the first believers, they shared their life together. They supported one another. And then they sold their property and possessions at points when people were in need. There's a real sense of sharing that goes on. They didn't find it easy. We know that there were some situations where people found that quite difficult to do. But that's how they started to try and set up church as a sense of a generous place to be and support for one another. There's just one more thing I just wanted to share. And that's about sharing our faith that we have. And we talk a lot about this, don't we, here at church. It's become an important thing for us about sharing the good news that we've experienced, this amazing life in all its fullness. Because there is something around sharing just becoming a really natural kind of thing that we do. Like, as the more you practice it and exercise it, it becomes easier to do. Because we are encouraged to share not just material things and the resources that we have and our time, but also our faith and the amazing things that we've discovered and learnt about God. We're encouraged to share that with others. It's almost like if you have something wonderful, like good news, why would you not want to share it with those that don't know? That it kind of overflows out of our faith. Because ultimately, everything belongs to God. He is the creator. He gives it to us for a while. And then we have the wonderful privilege of being blessed by those resources, but also sharing them with others. I'm nearly at the end of my thoughts here for reflection, but I also want to give you an opportunity just to do a little bit of work before I finish up. So what I'd like you to do is just turn maybe to the person next to you and just have a brief conversation about what sharing might look like here in our church family. It could be something that we could share, or it might be something that we're already doing. But what does sharing really look like? You know, we can hear someone from the front talking about this wonderful opportunity that we have to live out our faith in this generous way, to reflect the character of God and all that Jesus has called us to do. But what does that actually mean to be able to really do that in this place, in our community and in the village around? So I'm just going to give you a minute or two. Just turn to the person next to you and see if you can come up with one or two ideas about what sharing looks like for us. It could be what we're doing already, just recognising that, or it could be something that we could do if we have the opportunity. Over to you just for a few minutes. I wonder if there's a few tables that would like to share what they've been talking about with us. It would be interesting to hear what you've been talking about. Is that a sign that you're going to do that then, Barry? Or yeah? You put your hands up. You've got to be careful if you move. Don't blink. Sorry, Mike. There you go. You might need to hold it up fairly close to the...
I find it very easy to share my faith with the staff in the home that I live in. This morning, I suppose three or four girls came to me and said, "Are you going to church?" And I said, "Well, if Tim comes and picks me up, I haven't." So then they said, "Will you pray for me?" And I do pray for them. And I find sharing my faith is good for me, but it's also good for the people I share it with.
Fantastic. It's a really good example of sharing in every part of our life, wherever God takes us to, and just that opportunity to speak is great. Sorry? It is on, yeah. Okay. Anyone else like to add something into the mix of sharing? Lucy, hold it up quite close.
Like sharing this place with other community. They use this building for so many things.
Yeah.
We are already sharing this place.
Yeah, yeah.
Then so, like the women come in, at times for there are maybe people who don't know a lot of faith that comes in, like having the lunch club.
Yeah.
And all this thing we are already sharing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things I thought about, because I guess one of the things I like to say is to thank you, because there is a cost. There's always a cost that comes to sharing, and there is a cost to us of sharing our building with other people. It means that we have to obviously make sure that the space is inviting and is kept clean, that it fits and that things work. But also it means that sometimes we can't always get into the space and we want to use it. So there is a level of sacrifice that goes on, but the benefits and the blessing that it brings to those that come into our space is amazing. So it's something to give thanks for as a church community, that there is a willingness to share, because it's a wonderful resource, isn't it, that God has given to us, this lovely building. But we have to work quite hard to make sure that we keep it to a standard that's inviting and safe. And also that means that people sometimes are in the space when we want to come into it. So, yeah, I wanted to thank you, actually, for that. It's a really good example of having that openness of generosity to do that. Because not all churches are able to do that, so that's great.
That ties back also then to the ability to share this building with so many other people is one that we discussed, but it also ties back into serving, because in sharing, we are creating the opportunity through coffee morning, through the post office, through the little groups that meet. We are creating the opportunity to share our faith, because there are always a number of our members present at those meetings, at those activities, that are quite happy to talk about their faith should the opportunity arrive. And that's what we do. Sharing is creating the opportunity for us to actually then be able to talk about our faith.
Yeah.
And without that, who do you talk to?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you can't stop some people talking anyway, but
it's... Turn the mic off quick.
Quick. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of different ways to share. And one of them is, and sometimes I think the church in this country has struggled with that, just the confidence of sharing faith. I think it's starting to change a bit. There's a bit of a shift. But it's both things, isn't it? Material, practical things, but also, along with that, also goes with sharing our good news that we have. And that's important too, absolutely. And the two often go, and they should go together, shouldn't they? Yeah, absolutely. Does anyone else want to add anything around sharing? There was lots of animated discussion, so I'm sure there's some other ideas. Be brave. Oh, great. Excuse me, I'm going to lean across.
I was going to say sharing time. So lots of people do come forward and serve. I was just thinking, like, this afternoon, particularly with Marion, and those in the kitchen, as people share their time quite often. To also not only serve the community, but also serve one another within the building. And it's nice to see how we also share within the church with each other as well.
Yeah, brilliant. I'll let you keep the microphone there. I think you've picked up a lot of the things that I thought about when I was thinking about this section of the message. Another thing that I also thought about was, sometimes we don't always see it here on Sundays, but sharing across generations is also really important. I mean, there are people here I know that are invested in our youth work. I'm looking a little bit over to that side. But there's folks that have been involved in our youth groups that meet up on Monday night, work really hard for that. A lot of our families ministry, the baby group, the toddler group, it's all investing and sharing what we have from older generations and then investing into younger generations. So that intergenerational sharing, I think, is also really important in our church life, that we do invest into generations that are coming up behind us, that blesses our church, but also blesses the community here as well. And then there's also sharing our finances. And again, I wanted to thank the generosity of the church, because we're an amazing church, really, for the money that we generate through giving. People regularly tithe. I know lots of you do that. And it makes a huge difference to what we can do in this place. It supports the ministry that goes on here, and it also enables us to give away to the organisations, the partners that we have as well. So thank you again. That's another important part, isn't it, of our discipleship, of giving, from what we're able to, and to give generously. So thank you for that too. I'm going to finish now just by praying for us, and then we'll move into communion. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now with grateful hearts, knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from you. You've shared your love freely with us through your mercy and your provision and the gift of your Son. Teach us, Lord, to reflect that same generosity in our own lives. Open our eyes to see the needs around us. Soften our hearts towards those who are hurting and lonely or lacking. Remove us from any spirit of selfishness or fear and replace it with a spirit of joyful giving. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to share not only from our abundance, but also from the things that we hold dear. Let us share our time, our resources, our encouragement, our faith with those around us. And may our congregation be known as people who share freely, who open up our homes and extend our hands and speak words of life. We thank you for the privilege of being your hands and feet and your mouth. Strengthen us to live generously every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.